With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
Tom Brady has absolutely every right to do the same thing. If he wants to play for Chicago or LA or San Francisco, he has the right to ask for that money, and I wouldn't hold it against him, and I wouldn't consider it disloyal by any stretch of the imagination.
The point is, we may not know his name, but we're on to him. One day, he'll slip up. And when he does, we're going to be there to nail him.
Every player on that team loves him. Nobody on that team thinks he would stab anyone in the back. He's probably one of the best liked, not only guys in football, but in all of professional sports.
Thank you. You love me.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
So you would need weapons to sort of help the new guy not suck or be somewhat productive, whoever it might be. Yeah. So you have to have weapons one way or another going forward.
Now you have to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do ya, punks?
You can't be beggars and choosers right now. You got to go get that talent and figure it out and say, hopefully, hey, maybe our medical people are just better than the medical people with the charge. We got Alex Guerrero. Maybe we can do some pliability training with Hunter Henry, some resistance bands.
I don't sound desperate, but I'm very desperate. I'm not a very capable predator. My family's back at the den waiting for me.
Now it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, hour two of the Mark and Kitchen show, 401-737-1287. Anytime you have a good Kiss concert story to tell,
yeah.
I'm game.
Oh, okay.
You've had some good ones.
Black Eyed Peas stunk up the joint.
Yeah.
And when I say stunk, I mean literally they fishbowled their entire dressing room to such an extent that it was billowing out everywhere. I just stood outside their door. But everyone else was like, oh my God, it reeks back here. That was another Kiss concert. That might have been the same Kiss concert.
My wife is listening to the audiobook by Jessica Simpson.
Oh, God.
And I'm just waiting for... Was she a
Do you want
concert?
The part where Jessica Simpson, while still married to Nick Lachey, cheats on him with... what's his name from the...
Adam Levine?
Adam Levine from... I told you that story already, didn't I?
I didn't know you were going to bring that to the air.
I don't care.
All right. Let's go to... the marriage is probably already in the toilet bowl by that point. Let's go to...
You don't want other people to talk about it. Don't do it in front of other people.
Let's talk to James in Norwich. James, morning.
Good morning. How's the greatest duo since...
All right.
I thought you were going to say greatest duo since Jessica Simpson's.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the Brady.
Yeah.
And I know you guys were coming up with analogies on the team of Brady and Belichick. Now, and I know it's a crazy argument, but what I want to say is, a car. How many spark plugs does it take to run a car? You know?
Yeah,
because one's gone. I mean, you know, you need them all. You just can't, pick and choose which one you want to take out.
Sure.
You know.
Okay.
I don't know how good the analogy is, but it's the best I can come up with.
It's like engines on a plane.
Save me.
There's four engines on a plane. One of them goes out. You can still make it to your destination. Is it going to be a bumpy ride? Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to help.
Save
the analogy.
Save the bad analogy.
Yeah. Okay, James. What do you want to just say?
Well, yeah, well, the thing is, they are great together.
Yes.
and that's all it is. Now you separate them, it's going to be totally different. But now if Brady goes, it's still not going to be a good comparison. Hey, how can Brady do it on his own? He's at the end of his career. Belichick, you know, he still can do a lot more with creativity, but because he doesn't need as many tools as Brady does on the field to execute what he has to do. You know what I mean?
Sure. I know exactly what you mean. Exactly right. They're not going to be as productive, as successful without the other one, you know, being a part of the partnership. It's just not going to happen.
Right. Now, if he was in his prime still, then you might have a little closer comparison.
Yes,
you know,
it'd be more intriguing.
Yes, exactly. But I still wish him well. But I don't think he's going to stay because he's going to be in the same boat. He's going to be in the same boat that he was in. Has nothing to do with the money. It has to do with what are they going to put with him. So he's going to take less money somewhere else if he's got a powerhouse offense.
Okay.
It's my feeling.
All right. Thanks, James. Well, he's in line with Jeff Darlington,
yeah,
who says it is more probable than not. I forget exactly how he worded it. Something like that. It's more probable than not that Tom Brady will leave New England than not leave New England.
Well, okay. Even Giardi was starting to say that, too. I mean, a lot of it, you listen to Christian and
Christian
Lou. Christian and Lou both on OMF, they both think he's gone, whereas Glenn's, you know, thinks he's staying, and everyone thinks he's a homer because Glenn thinks he's staying. That's a stupid, childish conclusion.
I still think he's staying.
I do, too. Joe and I were talking about it off the air. I don't know if he's got the balls to leave.
I agree.
Seriously. I don't know if he does.
Yeah, I agree. But that brings us to the conversation about the Tennessee Titans, because I do believe, and I agree with this, if there's a place...
Yeah.
Now, the Raiders, that was never a thing for me. I don't think the Raiders, whatever. I don't think he's going to play for Mike Mayock and John Gruden on a team that historically has been a dumpster fire.
That was 7-9 last year.
Well, I just don't see it. I mean, I don't see it. Unless specifically he's trying to expand TB12 to Las Vegas. I don't see him going there. Tennessee, though, if there is a place he could go, I think the fact that he has a strong, long relationship with Mike Vrabel, I think that means something. I think that's something that a guy like Tom Brady would look for in the event he was going to leave. He'd have to be very comfortable with the person he would be working with that closely. Okay,
sure.
He'd have to believe in their, you know, what they're selling. And Vrabel, not the greatest coach out there, but has certainly had his moments.
I wouldn't say he's a bad coach.
No, he's not a bad coach. He's a good coach.
Yep.
And he's had his moments where his team has been great.
Well, it's just when you look at the roster situation in Tennessee, particularly on the offense, you look at it and go, that seems like that would work. You've got that bell cow running back, so you're not going to ask too much of Tom Brady's arm. Then on your second, and I don't know what Deion Lewis's contract situation with them is, if it's up after last year, next year, whatever it is. But you also have a guy you're familiar with who you can trust catching the ball out of the backfield. So, okay, that's two good boxes checked for you. Delanie Walker, who knows? I mean, he's talented, but he can't stay healthy. He only played 7 games last year, and I think he played a quarter the year before. But you know he's talented. And then you've got Jonnu Smith, who actually filled in very well for Delanie Walker at the tight end position. So you know the tight end position's probably better than what you have here in New England. And then overall in the wide receiver position, you know overall it's better. Edelman's better than any one of them. But then you look at it and you go, okay, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, Adam Humphries. I've got weapons there.
Yep.
I've got weapons to utilize at different places
certainly
on the field on the offensive side. Now, I don't know exactly how great the offensive line is there, but I know it's got to be pretty damn good for Derrick Henry to do what he did behind
them.
They
had a very good run.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good offensive line, at least run blocking. I'm not sure pass blocking, but they were a good offensive line. They are a good offensive line. But I think you could argue offensive line, but weapons, that is the only thing. The only bona fide thing you could give the edge to the Titans to, in my opinion, over the Patriots. Defense, better defense, the Patriots. Better coaching, the Patriots. Better culture, the Patriots. I don't know if you're interested in winning if Tennessee is the ideal scenario. If you're interested in weapons and a change of scenery, then I do think it's the ideal scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the ideal scenario for TB12.
I don't care
but,
about that.
I don't
that.
Know, but you don't care, but does he? I don't know.
No, but I'm so tired of us speculating
I know, but
about
does
it.
He? What are we supposed to do?
I know.
So Tennessee seems like a good fit for me because they have a coach that I think Brady would trust and he gets along with.
There are a lot of fat asses in Tennessee. Then maybe it is a great place for TB12.
See, but they don't care about health down there. You know?
You live down there.
I live down there. More people smoke down there. The obesity rates down in the South are much higher, larger, whatever you want to say, than they are here. So, I mean, Mississippi was brutal in terms of obesity. I mean, just the
See, you could listen to my Kiss concert stories. I could listen to your Deep South stories.
Oh, man.
Not now.
Okay.
Because at least with my Kiss 108 stories, they know who the hell I'm talking.
Correct. But I think Tennessee would be a viable option for him if he's really interested in leaving. And I could see him considering them. I just don't think I don't think it's enough. Don't think it's enough, especially if he's talking about winning and he wants to win.
Well, what do you make of Derrick Henry coming out and saying Tannehill's our guy?
Well, he just took them to the AFC Championship game.
I don't see – if you brought in Tom Brady over Tannehill, I don't see there being any upheaval or anyone being mad, whereas a lot of times in a situation like that, the organization be like, yeah, the quarterback's all right, but we can upgrade there. Whereas the players are like, no, we love playing with him. He's the guy.
Yeah.
Then you upgrade, and then it causes a problem. Like what has happened in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You brought in a quarterback that everyone thought was better than what you had, except for the players there. And the players there seemingly can't stand Kirk Cousins. Thielen and Diggs, for some reason, I'm not entirely sure why, seemingly cannot stand Cousins and do not want to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a perfect situation of a team all of a sudden not being and performing nearly as well as they were with a more talented quarterback. So sometimes your organization, they can look at it and be like, the guy we got's the right guy. Even though you're bringing in someone who everyone thinks is better, he's not going to be better with us.
I just, look, in terms of beating the best, the Chiefs are the team. They won the Super Bowl. They've got Mahomes.
Sure.
If you're trying to beat the Chiefs, I just don't think the Tennessee Titans are the team to do that because I don't think their defense is still good enough. With what Mahomes was able to do and the weapons that they're going to have at least for the next couple of years, I don't think the Titans' defense is good enough. And if I'm Tom Brady and I'm obsessed with winning a Super Bowl, which historically that's what he's obsessed with, I look at their situation and say, I would trust the Patriots to surround me with weapons more than I would trust the Titans to build up a defense that's capable of taking down Patrick Mahomes. I would have more faith in the defensive personnel with the Patriots and the defensive minds of the Patriots than I would with Tennessee. I know they have more weapons, but look, you're not going to outscore Brady and Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith and Henry. They're not going to outscore Mahomes with those weapons. They're not going to. I don't care what Brady is like next year, how effective he is. They are not going to do that. If you're going to beat the Chiefs, you've got to beat them with offense and defense. And I think the better chance to do that is with the Patriots if you can get some weapons around Brady. There's more of a likelihood that happens than the Titans all of a sudden have a top three defense next year and are shutting teams down. That's why I think the Patriots are the better option. But like I said, maybe he wants a change of scenery and weapons. And it's about looking good and throwing to good players. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking in terms of Tennessee. We could take this phone call from Raph. Raph in Cranston.
No. He's Raph now.
Raph in Cranston.
You got to press the button.
All kinds of issues here. Ralph, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Raffy.
Raph.
My name is really Raphael, but when I was
young,
it wasn't cool.
Cranston, Italian, probably. Yeah.
It wasn't cool. Now they name him restaurants after. But it wasn't cool.
All right.
Well, they also named Ninja Turtles after you.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I guess so.
The size? You know, remember the size?
Yes, of course. Okay. Don't talk to people about the Ninja Turtles. I know.
Okay. Go ahead, Raph.
All right, first of all, I just want to say that I am so in tune and agree and totally understand everything Bloom is doing. I hope people give this guy a chance. I understand why he had to shed salary. He's making some, nothing to lose signings to like Jonathan McCroy. I understand like everything he's doing. We're not going to win this year, but he's going to build this team up. But now with Brady, do you guys really think, realistically, you bring this guy back at $30 million as much as we love Brady next year? You think they got a shot of winning another Super Bowl next year?
Yes. I first of all don't think they bring him back at $30 million. He takes less than that. And yes, I think they could be right there if they bring in some guys to catch the ball for him, especially on the outside. Well, especially a guy that could get down the field and not have the Patriots have to go 13 plays every drive. If they have a guy that can make big plays, take some of the pressure off the passing game by catching longer passes. I think they could be around the AFC Championship game.
Ralph, let me answer your question as you asked it. At $30 million, do I think they could be a true Super Bowl contender? No.
Right.
Well, let's look at what they have to do. Now, you have an old defense here.
Yep.
And you got some key free agents. I mean, if I am, especially Benoit, Collins, and Tooney,
gone.
For the moon. Now, you lose those guys. McCourty, of course, may leave too. You don't know about Hightower. It's an old team. To try to do this, you have to Band-Aid it. It's not going to – you're just going to try to say, let's one more year, let's get – we have – you know, you look at this argument you had, too, this that's been going on, all of this discussion with Belichick and Brady. Well, this is the second go-around for me. As a young teenager, we heard the same thing with Red Auerbach and Bill Russell.
Uh-huh.
And Russell retired after 11 out of 13 championships. They sucked the next year. And everybody said, well, yeah, Auerbach built two more multi-championship teams from there. I believe in Belichick, and you know, I know this is a minority, my opinion on it. I'd rather see Brady leave. We've won a lot of championships with him, and see Belichick rebuild his team. I think he can. I think it would be exciting to see if he can do it again. You know, we've had a lot of winning here, and I love Brady, but I wanted Brady to retire after the last championship and say, you know, to the rest of the country, hey, haters, I decided when this is over. It's over now, and you're never going to get me. And Russell did the same thing. When Bill Russell retired, everybody was trying to be bored. You know, even local fans were getting bored with it. He retired. He said, that's it. I decided when this era was over. I would have loved Brady to have done that, but he didn't do that. So now if this doesn't turn out really well, whatever happens to Brady, it's his own fault. And I think it's driven by his ego. Mm-hmm. And I can totally understand it. Michael Jordan went through the same thing when he tried to leave the limelight. But I know I'm a very select few that sees this and says, you know what, I'd rather build it strong again, not pay a ton of money for a quarterback. No, we won't win next year. But I think within 3 years, Belichick will have this team. That's how much I believe in who he is and what he does. To me, that would be fun. Just say, all right, next year we're not gonna win it, but let's see what Belichick can do. Give him 3 years. I bet you we'd be right back on top.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Ralph. Here's my comment on that.
Yeah.
I want, in order for them to do that, to be back in 3 years winning the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
you need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think you can still get that quarterback with Tom Brady on the roster. That's what I mean, unless...
Of course.
If Brady is gone,
Of course he can.
If Brady is gone, they are not going to suck next year. It's not like they're going to be 2-12 or 2-13 or whatever, 2-14. They will not suck. So it's not they're not going to be atop the draft to get Trevor Lawrence. That's not going
to
happen.
You don't need to be. You don't need to be at the top of the draft to get your next starting quarterback.
Okay, so I'm just saying...
Hold on.
Yep.
Let's look at this situation, the situation you unfolded, which is have your quarterback, have your cake and eat it too. Have your quarterback of the now and have your quarterback of the future. Is that unprecedented?
No.
Is it?
No.
No.
Packers, Colts.
49ers.
Yeah, 49ers, right.
There's been a lot of organizations that have been able to do this, to have that next guy underneath the current guy.
Yeah.
I mean, how many years did Rodgers sit behind Favre?
Right.
All right. How many years was Young sitting behind Montana? Young's a little bit different situation. Young would be more equivalent if you brought in like Mariota to sit behind Brady, but you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But still, you still had that situation. The Cowboys had that situation. You know, granted, they didn't win a title with Danny White, but they were in contention for a number of years with Danny White after Staubach. So there's a path there that shows you can do that. Where did you get Tom Brady from when you already had a guy? A guy that led you to one Super Bowl, at least an appearance to a Super Bowl. You got him at the very end of the draft.
Yeah.
All right? Where did the Packers get Aaron Rodgers? The end of the first round.
Correct.
Okay? So it's not like you need to be in that top five spots to get that next quarterback.
Where was Drew Brees picked?
Second round. Where was Dan Marino picked?
Don't recall.
End of the first round.
Yeah.
He was picked after all those other guys in that crazy good 1983 quarterback draft. After Tony Eason, the scrub that you know the Patriots are taking, so you don't need to be at the top five to get your quarterback of the future.
If there was a situation where you know you knew that if Brady was gone, this the team would just implode and you'd have a top pick next year, then I think that'd be worth, I guess, a conversation. Do you want to suck for Lawrence, or what's the phrase they're using?
Suck for luck?
Tank for Trevor. I mean, that conversation, I think, would be applicable. But that's not what's going to happen. They will still be good. They'd still be middle of the road at worst without Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and everybody still there. So that's not a that's not a possibility. You're not going to be atop the draft to get a guy like Lawrence. So then it's, okay, if I have to get a guy later in the draft in the first round anyway, I'd rather have Tom Brady here, a guy we know can help you compete for a Super Bowl, than just go with quarterback X, Y, or Z.
Yeah,
that's how I feel. So... Yeah, I don't. That's why I want Brady back. I know he, like Dan or Ralph, wants to move on because, hey, that'll be interesting. He'll build it up in 3 years. I just think you can build it up if you're Bill Belichick in 3 years for that new guy with Tom Brady here another year or two. And then you see where you are in 3 or 4 years with that other guy that hopefully is the guy.
I also don't want to live in obscurity, in NFL obscurity.
What, mediocrity?
Below mediocrity. Just absolute suckitude. Patriots used to suck. They used to suck.
Yeah.
91, 92, they sucked. Do you want to go back to that? I don't want to strip it all the way down to rebuild it up again with Bill Belichick. I just don't want to go through all of that again.
Yeah. All right.
Because there's no guaranteeing it comes back. There's no guaranteeing it comes back.
No. I, too, wish he sort. I mean.
I wish he had retired after the Rams Super Bowl.
That would have been the ultimate mic drop, and it would have been a great way to end it. An MVP at 40, a Super Bowl at 41, and you walk away. You beat the guy that's going to be the face of the league the next 10 to 15 years on your way out. It would have been awesome. He didn't do it. What are you going to do? Let's see if he has a little bit more. Hopefully it's with the Patriots, and we'll go from there. Can we talk about the Celtics when we get back?
Yes, we can.
All right, we'll do that. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Jay Will, give me a bold prediction for the second half of the season.
The Celtics are going to make the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're going to be led by Jason Tatum. I think he's going to average 25 points to get there. In his last game, he had 39 points. And Legs, one of the things I love about the way he's playing this year, he's way more efficient with this style. He's taking threes off spot-up Jays.
All right, so that was Jay Williams on ESPN's Get Up making a bold prediction.
I'm sorry, how was that bold?
He thinks it's bold to say that the Celtics will make the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, I was ready for him to say the NBA Finals. That would have been bold for me.
Is it really bold for the team that's currently third in the conference to make the Eastern Conference Finals?
I mean, I don't understand. You're saying that they can't beat the Raptors in a series? Expect them to beat the Raptors in a series. I don't think that's a bold statement to me. And this goes along with the narrative that I've been talking about, that for some reason, the Celtics, they're not getting the respect that they deserve. Now, I understand their record against some of the top teams hasn't been there, but recently, they've been beating those teams. Okay, they beat the Lakers. They beat the Clippers. They beat the Sixers, I believe, in this stretch here. So they've beaten some teams. The question is, can they continue to beat some of the best teams in the league going forward? And they'll have a test or a chance to this week. Lakers Sunday night, Jazz Wednesday night at both of those places. And then Saturday, they host the Rockets. If they start winning games like that, I don't know what more you want from them to prove that they're a legitimate, not just Eastern Conference Finals contender, NBA Finals contender. What more are they supposed to do?
Listen, when you look at the Eastern Conference, you still, even though the 76ers are a dumpster fire right now, you still don't love a Sixers-Celtics matchup.
No, you don't love the
based
matchup
on the mismatches you would have in that situation. The Bucks, they're the best team. There's no denying it. They're the best team.
They're the
and
best
I
team.
Could not predict a Celtics beating a Bucks in a seven-game series. I couldn't do it.
Sure. 1-1 against the Bucks this year.
If they are not facing the 76ers in the first round, that's not bold at all. What Jason Williams is saying is not a bold
take. It's not a bold
take. The way I look at it right now is they should be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I wouldn't predict them to go beyond that because the Bucks are just a wagon and they're really, really good right now. And I think they learned from some of their mistakes last year in the playoffs. But the Raptors are not better than the Celtics. They're certainly not going to be better than the Celtics when it comes time for the playoffs. Because the Raptors are back to being the old Raptors, which is a good regular season team. They are well coached, but they can take advantage of you because they have a deeper bench than you. when it comes time for the playoffs, the bench gets much, 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 much shorter, so their advantage gets much, 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 much lower. Right? So they're back to being that team that's going to squeak by in the first round, get bounced in the second round. So they're not better. Heat, are they better? No. I like the Heat. I like what they built. They're pretty good. They're interesting. But they're not better than the Celtics right now. 76ers, that's not a good matchup, but the Celtics are better than the 76ers. Well,
they'll have home court, which will help the Celtics because the Sixers haven't been very good on the road.
Sure. Indiana, they're better than them. Brooklyn, they're going to start falling down. They might start winning games now that Kyrie's not playing. Definitely. I don't know. Who knows? But that's not, you're not worried about Brooklyn.
No.
Orlando?
No, those are buys. Orlando could be 10 games out of five. I mean, those are going to be the top two seeds in the Eastern Conference will essentially have a bye in the first round.
Essentially. It's not a bold take to say that the Boston Celtics will be in the Eastern Conference Finals. It would have been a bold take to say they'll make the finals.
Yeah.
And be competitive in the finals. That would be a bold take. But no, I expect them, the way this team is currently formed, the way the Eastern Conference has shaped up over the last couple months of the season, I expect them to be in the Eastern Conference Final. Anything less is a failure for them.
Yes, especially when you consider, and I know the landscape of the East was different, but they've already been to the Eastern Conference Final with this core, Tatum and Brown. They've already gotten them there. Again, different landscape in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, especially if you consider the fact that they're still hoping to get down the stretch a reinforcement or two, whether that's Robert Williams, whether that's in a series against the Sixers, if you put Taco Fall on the bench and have him there, they will have some reinforcements available. I would hope that's enough to get them to at least the Eastern Conference Finals, and I'm with you. Not a bold prediction. The NBA Finals would have been the bold prediction for the Celtics. But last night, hey, four guys over 25 points or 25 points or more, first time that's happened since the 60s. I love it.
Don't have four guys right now that are over 20 points a game.
No, but last night they did.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Four
yeah.
guys at 25 or more points.
Yeah.
Tice was a monster.
I thought you were talking about their average.
No. For one game.
Yes.
Gordon Hayward, Tice, I mean, at really one point good. He was 81% from the field. Yeah, like, I love it. Like,
and with 29 points, you got to love that. This team is interesting. They have one piece too many and one piece not enough at the same time. It's very bizarre. They have one too many scorers and not enough. You know, they need another defender, rebounder, someone that can do the little things and play his role. That's why when you looked at some of these guys, the bigs that were people kept talking about, I want Karl Anthony Towns, I want this guy. Most of them made no sense for this team because they want the ball. Because that's not the skill set. That's not the role you need on this team. The role is ideally Robert Williams being healthy and taking his
who would be
game
the
to another
if
step.
If you could take any player out of NBA history and put them on the Celtics, who would be the best type of guy?
Bill Russell. It's not even close.
Wouldn't that be the perfect guy? A guy like that.
Yeah.
What about Ben Wallace, old Pistons guy? Not good enough? Defense?
The problem with Ben Wallace is you can completely ignore him when they have off when his team has the ball, you can almost essentially ignore him. Whereas someone like Russ was a much more skilled scorer than him, wasn't a great scorer, couldn't exactly shoot, but was a much smarter offensive player.
Like, how about prime Dwight Howard?
No, because that no. Prime Dwight Howard sucked. The reality is Dwight Howard sucked. He was a one-dimensional player. Well, offensively, he sucked. Defensively, he was very good. His athleticism was freak show level. He could block shots. He could close out guys. He could recover, and he could grab rebounds left and right. Offensively, he was a one-trick pony in a bad big man league, and he exposed some of it. And then when you saw him try to evolve or get into another offense, he was terrible.
Okay.
Terrible offensively. But Dwight Howard now would actually be more intriguing because he doesn't want the ball as much. He understands his role, defensive and grab rebounds. That would be more like what I'd be looking for. But no, you don't need a superstar big on this team. You need someone that understands their role down there, and it's not to get the ball offensively.
If Robert Williams is healthy, do you think he can do it?
I mean, we still haven't really seen enough out of him. We haven't seen him. Has he ever played a 30-minute game?
I know.
You know? I don't know if athletically, yeah.
Yeah.
He looked like earlier in the season he was starting to make some improvements, especially offensively. He was starting to get it upstairs. He was starting to understand what he needed to do and what his role was offensively. So could he be that guy? Potentially. Potentially, because he knows he doesn't have to score. He doesn't have to worry too much about he's just got to be in the right spot offensively. And then you have a two-headed monster of him and Tice. trying to play defense, and then you've got your offensive weapon in Cantor down low. That's not bad. That's not bad. But my issue with this team in the playoffs is going to be someone's going to need to be a little more selfish, and someone's going to have to take a little bit of a backseat of the four, of Hayward, Walker, Tatum, Brown. Someone has to. And I think it's got to be Hayward. Hayward's got to check his game a little bit to make it all work right. And if he does that, this team's going to be damn good in the playoffs.
Because, I mean, you want that two seed. I want that two seed. It'll be tough to catch the Bucks at this point, but whatever.
You're not catching the Bucks.
You're not going to catch them. They're
eight games behind?
Yeah.
Not happening. But, yeah, I would like that two seed because you don't know what's going to happen with that six seed. Because I don't want to face Philly.
No.
I don't want to face Philly. So if you can get that two seed and then you're facing someone like Brooklyn or maybe Indiana or Orlando or Charlotte somehow
gets
back up there.
Yeah, you'd rather face one of those two teams.
So you can have an easier – you want what you basically had last year against Indiana. You want a four-game sweep against them. Rest up. Get ready for the next round.
Ideally, the Celtics overtake the Raptors. They get the two seed. Toronto falls to the three seed. And then you get that second-round matchup there with Philly – dealing with Milwaukee.
Yeah, you want Philly. I don't care. I don't care who they play. I want them dealing with somebody else altogether. I just don't want the Celtics to go up against Philly.
Well, wouldn't you rather not have to play both Philadelphia and Milwaukee?
Sure.
So have them play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is I don't care if they lose, if the 76ers lost to the Heat in the first round.
Yeah,
it wouldn't
no.
matter to me.
Sure.
As long as they get bounced or avoid the Celtics.
Okay. Let's take a break. When we get back, I want to just talk about the fight that's tonight. You looking forward to this fight?
Yes.
We'll talk about the fight
very
when we get back. And we'll just touch on a few other things as we wrap up the show here. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
We now return to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, we want to run through a few topics here real quick, Kitch.
Yes, sir.
Are you looking forward to Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder 2?
Yes.
Wilder Tyson 2.
Yes.
Why?
Because it's about time we got a fun heavyweight fight. Do you like boxing, right?
Yes.
But you don't truly follow it.
It's just there's so many other things ahead of it on the list.
Sure. But man, if it was on free TV, it'd be high up on that list again, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
If it was on CBS, ABC, NBC,
correct.
Whatever, Fox.
I would definitely watch.
God, and these were, if this fight was on one of those national, it would be huge.
Yep.
And boxing would be huge again, but it's behind a paywall, unfortunately, for the most part, especially when you're watching the big stuff. But this one's great because heavyweight boxing, I think, is always the most fun because of the power involved and the size of the individuals is always the most fun.
Correct.
Watching Floyd box is great if you really like boxing. If you don't really like boxing, you just want to see a combat sport, watching Floyd Mayweather box is horrific. And that's why Pacquiao was so popular, because it was fun to watch him because of the power involved.
Yeah.
But watching heavyweights slug it out is always the best. Now, what makes this fight interesting is obviously it's the second one from a fight that probably should have gone towards Fury, but I can understand how you end up with a split decision on that one, the split draw. This fight, I think, is going to be fantastic because I think Fury's in much better shape than he was going into that first fight. I think he's more motivated, more understanding, and I think Deontay Wilder understands that Fury's a much better boxer than he gave him credit for going into that first fight. So I think you might see a situation where you're going to see one slugger just trying to floor. You're going to see Wilder try and floor Fury in the first five, and then you're going to see Fury try and floor Wilder in the next five. And then if it goes beyond that, goes to 11 and 12, I don't know what you're going to see then. But I think this is going to be a fascinating fight, provided Fury doesn't try to Floyd Mayweather it and be ultra defensive and take his shots where he can get him. If he's throwing with Wilder, it's potentially a bad decision for Fury. But as a viewer, it could be amazing.
I know the boxing fans, the boxing community doesn't want to hear this. They always get on me when I say this. I have no interest in anything below the heavyweight division.
Really?
I view that as NBA basketball for people 6 feet and under.
Nah,
you can have a good game. You have a good game with guys that are just 6 feet or below. You can have a really good game. But if they can't play with the biggest people on the court, what are we doing? I'm sorry. You don't have to agree. That's how I view it. It doesn't interest me.
That's fine. I could give you a top 10 list of fights below the heavyweight division that would blow your mind. They're so much fun to watch. Just two guys just slugging. Gotti Ward 1, Gotti Ward 2. Oh, Gotti Ward 3. I could give you a trilogy right there where all three of them are fun. I think the most fun was the first one. But I kind of understand what you're saying, because the appeal and the allure of especially a sport like boxing is to watch the two biggest do it.
Yep.
It's to you as a viewer go, oh my God, this guy would murder me in a fight. I want to see what these two, because that goes back to our primal desires and urges of what, you know, when you're a little kid, you pick up the two biggest people and be like, who'd win in a fight? You know?
Yeah, that's more appealing to me. You know, if people can't get behind that, whatever, you can like the smaller people fighting, go ahead. I like the heavyweights. So I'm interested in this fight. The one thing I wish, and again, I'm getting picky here, both of these guys have been around. Now, it's cool that they fought to a draw the last time, so this is sort of like the rubber match. But I wish it was just, you know, there's no Ronda Rousey sort of appeal when she was this up-and-coming. She exploded onto the scene.
Well, Ronda Rousey, that was Tyson appeal. It was the same thing.
That's right. That's what I wish.
Mike Tyson.
That's what I was hoping would be the case here. That's not. Deontay Wilder's 34 years old. Fury's 31.
Wilder knocks everyone out.
That's right. They're both undefeated, right? I mean, Wilder's undefeated. Is Fury undefeated?
The problem you're having there's not enough decent competition. There's not enough of these other guys that can go, oh, this guy could challenge Wilder here, but I want to see Wilder knock him out. There's not enough of them.
Right.
Then you look at the last, 18 of the previous 20 Wilder fights, you're going into it going, Wilder's going to knock this guy out in three.
I wish there was an up-and-comer.
And not in the fun way Tyson did it.
Right. I wish Wilder was 23 years old, coming out of Alabama with the backstory and all these things. That's what, that would be more exciting, because then I can jump on board and I can follow this guy and see, is he going to lose this time? Is he going to continue to dominate? This guy's been around. He's great, but he's been around. I mean, he's probably on the back nine, honestly.
What about Fury's story? Tyson Fury's story is amazing.
I don't know it because he's English.
He's a gypsy.
Okay.
He's a gypsy king. His story is fascinating. I mean, the reason he is named Tyson is after Mike Tyson. And I believe it was because, like, three of the previous children that his father and mother had tried to have all died.
Oh God!
And he was born prematurely, and they named him Tyson because they wanted to fight through it, and he fought through it, and that's why his name is Tyson.
That's incredible.
It's a great story, and so he becomes this boxer. He's very, very talented. Knocks off Klitschko, which we were all hoping and dying to see, because the Klitschko brothers were boring as sin in the heavyweight division. And he does that, and then all of a sudden, he's got horrible depression. He's, shoveling mountains of coke up his nose. He's out of it for a couple of years, and then the light bulb goes back on, and he rebuilds himself up to be a true contender in the heavyweight division. And he's the lineal champion right now. So I think his story is more fascinating than almost every other boxer out in the
game.
But
you understand what I'm saying. I wanted somebody that this up-and-coming
phenom.
Yeah, you could grow with. That's what
you,
I was
you wanted Tyson. Right. Everyone wants Tyson.
I know.
See, the other part of the allure with Tyson is not just he was a big guy knocking people out, which is what Wilder is, essentially. Tyson was smaller than everyone
But he was still a heavyweight, but he was smaller. He was 6'1".
He was broad, he's jacked and everything, but he's fighting against guys that are 6'3", 6'4".
Right.
That's a major part of the appeal, and he's knocking them out, making them look childish.
Right.
That's part of the appeal in the allure of that division.
The late 80s Tyson. I mean, I wish I was around for that.
But they were also the worst possible fights, because it was some jag and he's going to knock him out in a minute 30, and you're going to go, great, I just pissed on $30.
Yeah. But, I mean, that level of dominance is interesting.
It is.
In ways. Okay. 40-year anniversary of The Miracle on Ice. Have you seen the movie Miracle?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I know what happens.
Yeah.
I don't have much interest. Seen the game.
It's great. How have you not seen that? Mr. Movie Man, how have you not seen that movie? Like, what are you doing?
Because I know what happens.
What are you doing, though?
What's the point?
It's a great movie.
No, no, no.
If you're going to make
a movie like that, I'd rather just watch the documentary of the people that were actually involved instead of the dramatization of it.
But the dramatization of it is really interesting. I mean, it was really good.
Okay.
I could watch that movie every other day.
So it's the documentary of it.
Okay, where's the documentary? I want to watch that.
There's a bunch of them.
Oh, but the 1980 movie was really good. Kurt Russell.
I'm sure it was. I've heard it was pretty good. Not
it
interesting.
Was better than pretty good. It was
I
excellent.
I already knew
why
what
you
was
play
happening.
College hockey, Coxie, for the girls. I mean, there's cool. quotes up and down. I love it. Is that what you want, Herb? You want me to take your test? I'll take your test, Herb. Is that what you want?
Wonderful.
I want to quote that movie all day long.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
One time we had a...
But I don't have this like great, amazing feeling towards the 1980 Olympics team. It's a professional sport in this country. Great. Yes, I know you were college kids going up against pros, but we had been watching... You know, basketball do that for a long time, and you know they would win some, they would lose some.
Watch the movie.
I know what happens in the movie.
Ah, but it's good. We were having when I was in TV, we were interviewing a few guys from the Providence Bruins, and I had one of them on for sort of a Q&A quick hitter segment, and I asked him what his favorite hockey movie was, and his favorite hockey movie he said was Mighty Ducks.
Yeah,
and he said, I was like, all right, and then I was like, how about Miracle? And he kind of like looked at me, and I'm like, you didn't like Miracle? And he goes, I'm Canadian.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he probably likes Mystery Alaska better. The awful Russell Crowe hockey movie.
Okay, let's get our question.
It is time for the producer's question. So here is Devin Telgani. He has a question. It won't be about sports. So here it is for Mark and Ben. All right, fellas, this week's producer's question, since we're talking about movies and documentaries. So, if you guys were to have a movie or a documentary about yourself, who would you guys have as your actors playing yourselves?
Well, if it's a documentary, there's no actors playing us. So if there's a movie about our lives, who would we have play us?
Yes.
Oh, God, I have no idea. Does it have to be someone that like kind of looks like me?
It could be anyone. It's your movie.
What do you got?
Well, I think I really... If you look at a young John Oates, I think he looks exactly like
from Hall and Oates.
Yeah, without
you
the
could
mustache.
Grow that disgusting mustache.
Yeah, I think
in
he
like
looks exactly
an hour.
Like, it's really freaky. There's one picture of him that I don't know. I'd have to find. He looks exactly like me with a mustache. It is a freak.
So your movie would be a musical?
I don't know. Who would play me?
Devin, do you have thoughts about who would
play us?
Give
me a second.
I actually haven't thought about that. No.
Well, then why did you?
Well, I was hoping you guys would have a distinctive answer.
It's tough to answer that from your, you know, personally. It would have to be somebody fiery. I can't think of somebody off the top of my head. Fiery.
For me, it would have to be someone who, like, is weird, says ridiculous things, and smokes a bucket of pot. I don't know, James Franco? Does that work for you?
Could be.
Whatever.
Doesn't look like me, but trying to think of someone who could capture the essence. Someone who doesn't really care very much.
Gilbert Gottfried. No. He's fiery.
That'd be good. Gilbert Gottfried as Iago from Aladdin? That'd be perfect for you.
I don't know.
You would be a very good evil parrot.
Okay.
Just loud, yelling. Chomping on crackers.
Yeah, I probably would.
You'd be a good evil parrot. If they do Aladdin 2, the live action, you should be the parrot.
I got to think of somebody better than that. I got to they should look like you too.
Well, for me, in terms of people that in Hollywood that kind of, or at least people said, you know who you look like? I don't know, like Justin Long.
Maybe for Ben, like a Seth Rogen.
Hey, you know who some, you know what?
Do you think I look anything like Seth Rogen?
Well,
I'm not even close.
No, you know, not even close, but kind of.
I'm much better looking than
one
that guy.
One girl told me once much that I look like Wilder Valderrama.
You do not look like Wilder Valderrama.
I was like, thank you very much.
You would look nothing like
Fez
seen from.
Was that Fez?
He was Fez in That 70s Show.
Okay.
Yeah. Used to date Lindsay Lohan.
Okay.
Before she went. Crazy.
Yeah. But he's not fiery enough to be. I don't know. I don't have a good answer, unfortunately. Good question.
I'll give you another one. A little more low-key, a little quiet, maybe on the weirds. Better looking than me. What about Josh Hartnett? We haven't seen him in a while.
No, maybe. I don't know.
Who would play you, Devin?
How about like a Jonah Hill?
Yeah.
You mean fat Jonah Hill?
Yeah.
Not like the current skinny one with the beard.
No. Yeah, Jonah Hill would be a good one.
Yeah, Jonah Hill would be a pretty good one.
Or
if Jonah Hill had swallowed Seth Rogen, perfect.
Or maybe Kevin James.
Fat Kevin James.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. You're not as funny, though.
No, I don't think Kevin James is hairy enough.
No one's hairy enough. The only okay, if you want to do it that way, the only person in Hollywood history that could play based on the hair alone, Robin Williams.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Or Coco the Gorilla.
I mean, I could see that either or Seth Rogen. Definitely.
You are annoying like Seth Rogen.
Or I could try to do a slapper.
This is going nowhere.
You know who I wouldn't mind? You know who I think could maybe play me? And he's not an actor, but he's like Gary Vaynerchuk. He's got a lot of energy.
Who?
You don't know who that is?
His name sounds familiar.
He's like a social media celebrity.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, he's not an actor.
No.
But I'm just trying to think of, I don't know.
Or maybe Eric from Boy Meets World could play a good Ben.
He's too goofy.
Hey, you don't know me in my real life. I'm pretty goofy. That's a good one. I like that. Eric was the older brother, right?
He was, yes.
Yeah, but he was too stupid.
Yeah, that's true. He was very stupid. But he was also the voice of Batman in Batman Begins. That's kind of cool.
Boy Meets World?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Which Batman Begins?
It was like the follow-up cartoon after Batman the Animated. Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. As long as you didn't say something like Topher Grace or something.
Or maybe Corey from Boy Meets World for Mark.
I could be your older brother.
How does Corey from Boy Meets World
Well, I mean, he has a little fiery when he goes, Topanga!
Okay. Jeez. I mean, the hair just totally.
I just like Eric's song when he was a make-believe private detective. Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah. He's a good when looking guy.
When there's a crime out there, he stops to comb his hair because he's a good looking guy. Can we end the show now?
Yeah.
That should really end the show.
All right.
Because that was a terrible 5 minutes.
Yeah, I came up with nothing.
It was awful.
Absolutely nothing.
The audience was like, this is not interesting.
I'll go with John Oates. Just okay. Put John Oates in for me.
We're going to call you Oatsy from now on.
Yeah.
All right, Oatsy.
Hold on. Damn it, where's that lineup? Sox.
Ooh.
Lineup. Today against the Rays, Andrew Benintendi leading off. Jackie Bradley Jr. batting second. JD Martinez batting third.
Am I supposed to be paying attention?
Yeah. Now you take over from here.
Michael Chavis batting fourth, first base. Kevin Pillar, your right fielder. Peraza's at second base. Dahlbeck's at third base. Lynn's at shortstop. And Bandy is your catcher. On the mound, Johnson. Who's Bandy?
Oh, you said Bambi.
Bandy. I know all the rest of them.
Who's Peraza?
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
I don't care.
He's the second baseman we got from Cincinnati.
Yes. Ow. Yes.
Okay. All right. Coming Show's up over. Next.
Mocking hot.
All right.
Show's over. We're going home.
This is Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.